Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Adani Green Energy first half FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Investec India Capital Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand over the conference to Mr. Anuj Upadhyay from Investec India Capital Services. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Enzo. On behalf of Investec Capital Services India Limited, I would like to welcome you all for the first half FY24 post-earning conference call for Adani Green Energy. We have with us the management team of the Adani Green who will share the key highlights of the results followed by Q&A. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Viral Rawal, Head Investor Relations, Adani Green, to take it forward from here. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Anuj. Good afternoon, friends. Thank you again for joining us today to discuss Adani Green Energy's H1 FY24 results and updates. I hope you would have had the time to go through the earnings presentation. Just to introduce the management team here along with me, so we have Mr. Amit Singh, the CEO of Adani Green. We have Mr. Phunsuk Wangyal, the CFO, Mr. Rajkumar Jain, the Head of Business Development. And also along with us, we have Mr. Anupam Mishra, the Head of Corporate Finance at the Adani Group. So in terms of the flow of the call, I'll first hand over to Mr. Amit Singh for brief opening remarks covering broadly the business strategy and operational performance. And then Phunsuk will give remarks on financial performance and an update on the capital management program. So without wasting any further time, over to you, Amit, for your brief remarks.
Thank you, Viral. Good afternoon, friends. Good to be here today. As you know, renewables remains a cornerstone of global energy transition. And earlier this year, India has really accelerated tendering with 50 gigawatt per year and driving in that direction towards a goal of 500 gigawatt by 2030. We believe a coordinated policy action in this direction, along with a wider industry effort, is much needed to deliver on that ambition. Here in AGL, in line with India's decarbonization goal, we remain very committed to deliver an excess of 45 gigawatt by 2030. Adani Green continues to have the largest operating renewable portfolio with 8.4 gigawatt in capacity. We continue to ramp up our execution capabilities as we prepare for the next phase of growth. And AGL is extensively working on the next milestone of developing the largest RE cluster in the world at Khavda in Gujarat, which we'll share further updates on our progress there. As we drive our next wave of growth, our focus will remain on these five key pillars. Number one, development of a very affordable renewable energy along with storage solutions to enable better integration with the grid. Number two, capitalizing on project execution expertise at an increasing scale backed by advanced resource planning and fully integrated project management and assurance. Three, development of human capital and expanding local content in supply chain because we need to make our supply chains resilient and cost effective. Four, accelerating the digitalization and automation to both drive efficiency but also improve our overall cost of doing work. And lastly, making sure that we optimize our finance cost while managing the duration risk of these projects with a very diversified global finance pool. Now, reflecting on our operational performance in H1 of FY24, as you would have seen, the sale of energy has increased by 78% year-on-year to 11,760 million units as a result of strong capacity addition and improved CUF across solar, wind, and hybrid portfolios. The solar portfolio CUF has improved by 90 basis points year-on-year, 25.2% in H1 FY24, with improved plant availability and improved solar radiation. This is largely contributed by a very high digital and analytics on the O&M side and also making sure that we are ahead of the curve in solving some of the problems. The wind portfolio CUF has improved by 360 basis points year-on-year to 40.2% in H1, with consistent wind speed and significant improvement in grid availability compared to last year. The solar wind hybrid portfolio CUF has improved by 880 basis points year-on-year to 45.4% in H1 of FY24. Backed by technologically advanced solar modules, horizontal single axis trackers, and wind turbine generators, as well as consistent high plant and grid availability. So overall, a remarkable operational performance for which I would like to thank my whole team and organization to deliver this. Let me now hand over to Phoonsook to provide us updates on financial performance.
Thank you, Amit. Coming to the financial performance for H1 FY24, I'm delighted to share that in line with improvement of operational performance, we have continued to deliver strong and consistent performance across all metrics with very comfortable leverage level. Just to share a very quick performance on the update, revenue from power supply has increased by 66% year-on-year to 4029 crore, with corresponding total income standing at 4979 crore. As far as EBITDA from power supply is concerned, it has also increased correspondingly by 58% to 3775 crore with an industry-leading EBITDA margin of 92.2%. Just as a point of reference, last half year, the EBITDA margin was 91.7%. From 91.7%, it has increased to 92.7%. PAT for the corresponding half year is 694 crore. Whereas cash profit has increased by 63% to 2082 crore. Now, on the top of it, if you look at it from a leverage level perspective, now run rate EBITDA stands at strong 7645 crore with net debt to run rate EBITDA at 4.99 as on September 23. And this compares to 5.9 last year. And if you recollect when we raised the Holdco bond, the covenant which was agreed was 7.5. So from agreed covenant of 7.5 to 5.9 to 4.99 as on September end. As Amit Malika briefly talked about, we remain continuously focused on optimization of financing sources, financing costs, with the overarching objective being that our duration risk, well, interest rate risk, as well as our currency risk should be fully mitigated. From that perspective, we had a very diversified finance pool, and we continue to work with domestic and international banks. Now, this is getting reflected from the fact that for capacity addition planned for this financial year of 2.8 to 3 gigawatts, as we speak, actually, we have secured funding for entire financing, part of which, for which drawdown is already made, and for part, actually, documentation is currently underway. This reflects the continued support and confidence which all of our stakeholders continues to bestow on Adani Green per se. From a credit metrics perspective, all of our rating continues to remain affirmed. We have met all debt covenants as well as 96% of our credit facilities remain in A to AAA bucket. Just briefly touching about, as you all know, recently our board has approved expanding our relationship with Total, whereby we will be partnering with Total for a joint venture of 1050 megawatt, which for the first time will also include under development pipeline, that is 300 megawatt of operational portfolio and 750 megawatt of under construction and near construction. As said, this deal is on track, and in due course, actually, we will be approaching once the entire due diligence has been completed, in line with regulatory requirement, we will be approaching the shareholder for approval. Now, this deal not only reaffirms our relationship with Total, but also expands the ambit of a relationship from a pure play operational portfolio to being a minority investor, a substantial minority investor at the LISCO level, to a portfolio where there will be an element of construction risk per se. From an ESG, which remains a very important cornerstone for our operation while delivering excellent performance, we have also made commendable progress on our ESG commitment. Amit was talking about our capacity addition, and as we have spoken in the past, a larger part of our capacity addition will come in Khavda, where as we stand, we have deployed a workforce of more than 5,000 people. Okay. and where we have tried to ensure that we extensively hire local talent and also upskill them, because that's the remote part actually, and it is also imperative that upskilling also builds up your community engagement per se. As we go forward, we are electing to use robotic cleaning to significantly reduce our water usage to almost zero across all of our plants. Now, this is getting reflected in terms of the various affirmation which we have received, and we are pleased to inform that recently MSCI latest ESG rating update has put AGL corporate governance score has been upgraded to 7.4. This is the highest scoring range respective to global peers. So overall, operationally, financially, H1 and Q2 has been a fairly satisfactory performance per se. With this, I would like to end my comments and request to open the line for Q&A from various participants. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Puneet from HSBC Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much and congrats on good numbers. My first question is with respect to the refinancing. I guess a large chunk is due in FY25, and this was largely dollar-denominated debt. What are the plans for that, and what kind of cost of debt are you expecting for that refinance?
Yeah, sure, Puneet. I think, as you know, in FY25, actually, we have two refi which is coming into play. One is our $750 million USD Holdco bond, and right. The second one is $500 million RG1 bond, actually. As far as Holdco bond maturing in September 24 is concerned, you would have noticed the public release which is being done towards the end of quarter one. At the group level, actually, where it has been effectively stated that at the group level is concerned, a liquidity pool has been created of nearly 1.3 billion USD, actually, to take care of near term, that is 12 to 18 months term liability, which is coming, which is effectively, if you really look at it across the Adani group, that includes Holdco bond per se. Now, on the top of it, now, in that thought process, as far as Holdco bond is concerned, will be repaid as and when maturity comes in. That is from a Holdco bond perspective. Now, RG1 bonds, we are on track actually, as we have communicated in the last month earning call. This will be refired through USD PPP market. That is our preferred approach actually. And right now, the discussion is currently at a very advanced stage to conclude the RG1 refiling.
And what kind of cost of borrowing should one be expecting for these?
Yeah, so as far as the Holdco bond is concerned, as I said, it will be repaid actually. So we are not, cost of borrowing, etc., doesn't come into play actually. Now, from RG1 perspective, I think we need to look at from three elements. Because and it's pretty clear that the rates per se has gone up actually in between as far as benchmark rates are concerned. But what is also imperative to note is during the same period actually swap rates have moderated very extensively. Second thing which we have also observed, which I guess Puneet you will also be aware, which you will also be fairly familiar with, is spread levels actually. Credit spread levels for a long tenor contracted projects actually, which is what our RG1 portfolio is. The credit spreads are coming down. So if you really look at it, we don't expect any material increase in effective cost of refi as far as these instruments are concerned compared to the cost of borrowing which we have at our AGL Holdco level, which is near to 9.6%.
Okay, so 9.6%. All in is what you're expecting, including the hedging cost, etc. Understood. That's
yes, and just to add to that, I think if you look at RG1's current debt cost, it will be definitely be cheaper than the all-in cost at which the RG1 current debt is there. So there will be a cost saving overall.
Yeah, and Puneet, actually, I think we have briefly going to touch this during our last call. Okay. As you would have noticed that, okay, even at our portfolio level, actually, there are projects which are being funded through long-term amortizing instrument, but as a part of our cost optimization strategy, actually, we have been doing regular refi. So there are non-sovereign projects which we have refied, actually, where interest rates have been sub-10. Now, those are completely non-sovereign, whereas RG1, a substantial part of the portfolio, is sovereign. So that will also get reflected in the cost of refi for RG1 instrument.
Understood. And second, in your new portfolio, what is the mix of C&I in the entire portfolio as well as the operational assets?
I'll invite Raj to comment on it.
Sure. So I think as has been mentioned here, so out of the 20.4 gig, we have close to 3% as the non-contracted portfolio. When I say non-contracted, it is basically merchant, not on the C&I. We have active discussions on the C&I bit as well, and that will get reflected as we conclude in the near term. So that's broadly the mix. So essentially today, even today, 97% of my portfolio is contracted for 25 years with the credit quality, which you can see that is more than 90% sovereign rated equivalent counterparties.
Understood. And on the manufacturing link tenders, is there any progress, any timeline which has been given now? And there were still some unsigned tenders. Have they got signed?
So we are now getting into the execution phase of these manufacturing link contracts. And as we progress by end of the year, you would find some of these capacities commissioned after the guidance which we have given of 2.8 gigawatt. A large chunk of that is relating to these projects. Second, even in the next year, we will be commissioning a large chunk of these projects. With respect to the unsigned capacities, we are in very, very advanced discussions and expect that within this quarter, current quarter, the balance capacity should be signed up as well.
Oh, excellent. Okay, that's very interesting. And lastly, if you don't mind, can you give some guidance on the commissioning plan for FY25 and 26 and balance for 24 also?
Yeah, I think, today we are projecting 2.83 gigawatt as part of our financial year. And our bandwidth, we need to scale up our bandwidth and our capacity to grow that, north of 5. Now, based on the business plan and the timelines and mix of projects and customers, we are targeting in that neighborhood. More color we will provide later part of this year. But one thing is clear that we need to ramp up our capacity of execution, which we are at the moment quite significantly. And also we need to make sure that the supply chain also kind of grows with us. So we are kind of working on that right now.
That's good. That's all for myself. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Nikhil from Alliance Bernstein. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on the investment from Total Energy. It looks like a very good sum given the quantum of capacity it's tied up to. Wanted to understand, is the investment all equity or is it a mixture of equity and debt or equity and debentures like it was last time?
I can take that question. I can take that question. This is a full equity investment in the nature of equity 100%. So what they've done is they've valued the portfolio of 1050 megawatt. Out of this 1050 megawatt, 300 megawatt is operational. So the entire cash flows of this portfolio have been taken. For the under construction and under development projects, the capex cost that will be incurred is taken as a negative in the free cash flow to equity in determining the value. So it's a pre-money value for those two assets. and that for that asset portfolio, the value has been determined at $300 million. This is a pure equity transaction. The way this has been captured is if you look at the entire Adani portfolio, Adani Green portfolio, it is basically Adani Green has been taken as a 30-40 gigawatt company, and from that standpoint, with a mix of similar mix of operating under construction, under development, and you basically proportionate it to 1,000 megawatt, you get to this number. So that's the way they have the transaction has worked out.
Understood. That's very helpful. The second question I had was regarding the quarterly results. So wanted to understand what part of the revenue is a one-time income. I could see one item related to a land purchase of, I think, about 120 crores. If you could just throw some color on that, what portion of that is one-time? The revenues?
Yeah, so if you see, you know, the revenue from power supply, actually, revenue from power supply one time, there is nothing one time actually, but what impact, you know, the H1 has is, if you recollect our Tamil Nadu projects actually, Kamuthi, where towards the end of, you know, the last financial year, we managed to get our tariff increase across the board. So to that extent, actually, you know, that is getting impacted. Otherwise, you know, the revenue from power supply, there is no one-time, you know, impact on the first payment.
Understood. What about other income? Because that number had a big jump this quarter as well.
Yeah, so other income, if you see, other income has got LPS element. Now, LPS is something which is one-time actually. This includes two types of LPS actually. One is which we have received for our Tamil Nadu project. You know, there was a regulatory dispute in terms of whether CUF is getting capped at 19% or above. So that above 19% LPS income is there, around 54 CR actually. So that we have already realized it. Okay. Then there is another element which is LPS for our past due actually. Now that is approximately 180 CR, out of which approximately 60 CR we have already received it. So that is basically the one-time income. Otherwise, other income includes a large amount of interest income and all, which are very steady in nature and which are likely to go up.
How, just further adding, even the LPS, if you look at that, if the LPS is not there, it means I will have lesser interest outgo because the money is coming in time. So from that perspective, while the current LPS which you see is still accumulation for past period, but per se that either the LPS would be there or the interest outgo will be lesser. So it will nullify each other in a steady state basis.
Got it. Understood. One last question, if I may ask, is then on the plan for the year. I think if I heard correctly, it's almost 2.8 gigawatts of additional capacity this year. But given that we have done hardly 200 megawatts in the first half after a very strong last year in terms of addition, and even if you look at the capital work in progress, it's nowhere close to the number we had at September 22, for example. So A, what was the reason for the slowdown in the last 6 months? And B, how do we get confidence on being able to execute so much in just 6 months for the full year guidance?
Yeah, I think there is a bit of a cycle of these projects. And like I said earlier, we are undertaking this majority of this work in Gujarat, in Khavda, where we had to spend a lot of time and effort in putting the, you know, baseline infrastructure and operating environment for our people to work, which we successfully completed earlier part of this year. And now the work is in full flow. As I announced earlier in the remarks, we have 5,000 plus people working there. And we are seeing very rapid progress. So stay tuned. I think we will share with you an update on our commissioning as we go. But we're very confident of our team's ability to deliver on those plans.
And Nikhil, actually, if you recollect, okay, the guidance which we have given for capacity to be added this year, we have always indicated that this will be towards the second half of this financial year. And in terms of your capital work in progress, way the solar construction starts is, you start with all the structural elements, tracker, etc. and all, then module, which is the largest cost element, come towards the last part of your implementation philosophy. So modules have now started coming in post September actually, and that is precisely the reason you would see that capital work in progress. You may get a sense that capital work in progress is slightly lesser than commensurate with the capacity augmentation which we are talking about. Hopefully it clarifies it.
Really appreciate the answer. Thank you. That's very helpful. That's all I have.
Thank you so much. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Apoorva Bahadur from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So can you please share the quantum of infirm power sold during the quarter and what was the same quarter last year?
Yes. I think infirm power for this half year is nearly 77 CR actually. Infirm power, we were not anyway expecting much revenue as far as this half year is concerned. Last year was towards for this half year would have been approximately between 800 to 900 CR. Exact number is not readily available to me.
Okay. And sir, any update on your plans for pump storage?
Yeah, on the pump storage, we have quite a few projects in the queue. As you probably are aware, this requires very concerted effort to do a proper DRP study, social study, forest approvals, and so on. So we are undertaking a lot of that work for several of our projects in the higher teams. At the same time, we are nearing completion of one of the projects where we will be taking FID, and once we have an FC, we will share with you an update. I feel very confident that we will have that update for you, before end of this financial year for sure. But that is absolutely the way to bring RTC power to the country, and that will be the most economical way to do that, and we firmly believe that is a way to go for AGL and country, and that is one of the areas which we are developing quite rapidly as well.
So from FID, how long do you think does a project take?
Yeah.
It should take anywhere between 27 to 30 months after that. That's the general cycle, and the project has that nature that it can be turned around in that period. So yeah. I think we will come back with more details as we come out with more detailed disclosures on it. So I think we are there in terms of doing the FID very soon on that.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Puneet from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. Just an observation, and would request your thoughts here. Like you talked about, bulk of commissioning happening in second half. A lot of other players are also aiming for the same. And where are you buying these modules from to start with?
Yeah, sure. So I think we have optimized the procurement based on the way the contracts are set up. So there are procurements happening from Southeast Asian countries as well as from China, depending upon the contract. And as Amit has mentioned, some of those modules have already started trickling in the site. So that's how it is currently planned.
Specific actually, I think for this financial year, I think we have indicated in last quarter itself, the bulk of it will be from China only.
Correct. So in that context, I want to understand how would the risk play out if you were to import these modules, but the commissioning gets slipped by, say, five odd days and moves to April. Would you still be allowed to commission, or what are the risks that we run into in case COD is delayed
by, you know, a few days?
So let me answer that. So our current plants which we are doing are way prior to their contracted SCOD dates. So we do not have any risk. Even if my plant gets delayed by a couple of months with respect to any of the these nature. So I'm these are not that I'm trying to do a project which has an SCOD of March 31st, 2024 and I'm trying to achieve and running that race. No, these are much ahead of their current SCODs.
Okay, so because I was of the view that ALMM modules which are not qualified under ALMM can be allowed to be imported before 31st March?
Project which for which yeah. I am setting up the capacity has the requirement to comply with ALMM.
Yeah, but Chinese modules would not be ALMM, right?
No, I think just to clarify the regulation on the ALMM, and I think it would be good that we can also yeah. offline connect. But
okay.
there are projects which are supposed to comply with the ALMM requirement. There are projects which are okay without that ALMM requirement. What I am commissioning right now does not have that issue as far as the capacity, because these projects, as you know, some of these projects were auctioned much prior to the ALMM notifications.
Okay.
But happy to connect separately on this and take you through the entire regulatory construct on that.
That'll be great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Ravindranath Nayak from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead. Hello, sir. Can you hear me? Mr.
Yeah.
Nayak. Mr. Rabindranayak, can you hear me?
Yeah, am I audible, sir?
Yes, you are audible now.
Oh. Sir, can you just throw some light on the horizon by which the operational capacity would rise to 20 gigawatt from the current around 8 gigawatt?
So I think we have already mentioned and guided about our current plan for this year. So exit should be around 11-ish. By end of this financial year. And then, as Amit mentioned, we are ramping up our capability towards 5 plus every year. So I think the number is then known to you where it probably would take 2 years or less after this financial year to reach this number.
And I think if, Ravinder, you are asking from the context of when these PPAs needs to be executed, under the contractual arrangement, then that is okay. You can say that will depend upon PPA to PPA, but we will have time at least 3 to 4 years to complete this, the balance 20 gigawatt actually, 20 minus 8 months.
Okay, sir, thank you.
Okay, Ravi.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Nirav Shah from GC Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Most questions have been answered, but just one question. On the pumped storage and other battery projects, do they form part of the 45 gigawatt of target portfolio, or they are over and above that?
Yeah, so, that's where the mix comes into the picture. It will be a mix of solar, wind, pump hydro, and batteries. There is no double counting. So I'm not saying if I'm putting solar, which is feeding into the pump storage plant, and that's the way I have contracted my revenue, there is no double counting in that. So it will be a fair mix of it, and pump storage in that manner is included within the 45 gigawatt portfolio which you're talking about.
Got it. Perfect, sir. Great. Thanks, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Muchal from HDFC AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. Sir, firstly, on your wind portfolio, the PLFs have improved meaningfully. the capacities have not changed much from 900 to about 1200. So is this seasonal? Is this some efficiency improvement or maintenance changes? Or what's driving this?
Yeah, I think maybe let me start and maybe give more comments. I mean, I think we had one-off incident also last year, which we did not have this year, so that is partially responsible. But beyond that, I think managing event portfolio requires a very proactive approach in terms of looking at the maintenance and how we maintain, how we have spares and inventory, and with our learnings and experience and digital enablement, we have been able to really improve and step up our performance in our portfolio. I would even say that that journey is not complete. I think we still have more room to improve there, and we will definitely see some positive upside there.
And Dhruv, actually, if you recollect, okay, underperformance of wind in Q1, when we discussed actually post-Q1 call, we gave our view that in our view, actually, over the financial year, we did expected wind speed to pick up, actually. And our Q2, the CVF, which you would have seen, is a combination of the operational improvement, which Amit was talking about, better wind speed, as well as, moderation of impact of one-off event which happened last year.
Just to add, in terms of, checking out the math, so basically, in addition to what, Amit and Phunsuk said on the operational efficiency, there is across the board improvement in the efficiency, but also in terms of the math, basically, when you look at the capacity increase, this is basically closing capacity as of H1 and this year, correct? So when you look at the weighted average capacity, that capacity increase is also substantial when you look at weighted average capacity, okay, considering the time rating.
Perfect. The second was on the hybrid portfolio. So it's about 9 months to a year now that your hybrid portfolio has been operating. So just wanted to understand what kind of PLFs are you achieving on an annualized basis? Is it broadly in line with what you were targeting, and or they are much better than what the thing was? So just some thoughts there.
Yeah, sure. So I think, Anuj, while we, for the H1, we have reported the numbers at 45.4% across the four projects of hybrid, which we have, 2 and 40 megawatt. The achievement has been very much in line with what we had expected. And this is something which the country should follow more and more when the more integration of the capacity are happening. Co-located hybrids are something which will really help solving a lot of issues. So we are very comfortable with the way we have performed. Our modules are performing the way we wanted them to perform. Our operating performance there has been good. Wind turbines, again, those are doing really really well in terms of their operating performance. So clearly they are where we wanted them, which is top of the line performance from these turbines and the client.
So for the 2140, is it fair to assume about 40-42% PLF on an annualized basis?
Yeah, you should be able to get that because H2, you're right, the wind will come down a bit. So we should be able to get around that number and probably slightly higher. So that's, yeah, so that should be there.
Got it. And one clarification. Now, you said in your presentation, it says the operating capacity is 8316, but in brackets you mentioned 9021. It seems to do with your hybrid portfolio. So just wanted to get some clarity. What causes this difference?
So I think I'll explain that. So basically, this is just to clarify. So there is one hybrid capacity of 2.1 gigawatt. Okay, so approximately there is 700 more megawatts. If you look at that capacity from the perspective of standalone solar AC capacity plus standalone wind AC capacity, correct? Mm-hmm. If you add that 700 odd megawatts, then it is basically the effective AC capacity is 9021 megawatts. This is just to clarify that this is what it stands. This is where it stands in total, actually.
Okay. But on an inverter basis, your the capacity will be 8316. That's the right way to understand.
So let's clarify this a bit further. When we say 8316, it's a typical contracted capacity.
Okay.
When someone says that, let me bid into a SECI PPA, or let me tie up certain capacity, then this is the capacity we are talking about. However, as you know, multiple developers are reporting the capacities in a different manner. So that's where we are clarifying that this capacity is per se an installed capacity base of 9,000 plus megawatt. It is still an AC capacity. 9,000 megawatt is still an AC capacity, but since there is a blending of both wind and solar in case of hybrid, the contracted capacity becomes 8,316.
Got it. Understood. This makes it clear. Yeah. And just last two things is just to reconfirm, you mentioned target for this year is about 2.8 gigawatt. And also if you can mention the CapEx amount that you're planning for this year.
Yeah, CapEx actually remains what we have guided in the past. Okay, there may be a slight moderation to reflect the recent softening of module prices actually. Mm-hmm. But what we have guided is nearly 14,000 CR to achieve 2.8 to 3 gigawatt. That still remains.
Got it. Sure. Thanks. Thanks so much, and all the best. Thanks.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Anuj Upadhyay from Investec. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I just want to understand, factoring the trend that the module prices are now falling. So what incremental or the escalation we can assume on the IRR for the project which we have already been bidded but yet to be tendered out? Secondly, also want to get a sense of your assumption on where the module prices could remain going ahead, say in the near term, another 6-7 months, and about time period, whether it expected to remain at a similar level or it could oscillate from here on.
Sure. So I think taking the second question first on the module prices, yes, there has been recent significant fall, I think, as high as depending on the timeline you take. If you take a year's timeline, probably around 40% fall in the prices. However, we do take a lot of supplier feedback, a lot of market intelligence when we plan for our projects, whether when we bid for those projects or when we plan for the projects coming this year or next year. So our CapEx do reflect the longer term or I would say medium term views around some of these commodities. And however, as you have seen in the past, the prices do go in one or other direction by a significantly higher velocity than what you would see in a normal economic environment. Now, yes, in the last few months, the prices have come down probably around 15 cents right now. This will give us some benefit as what Funsuk has mentioned on the uncontracted capacity. Generally, a cent of module raises the returns by 1.2% on the equity IRR. That is the broad measurement, but again, it is dependent on the tariff at which you are talking about. In terms of our expectation on the module prices for next year, we do believe that there has been a very sharp decline recently, but at the same time, given the glut of capacity which is being seen in the China, as well as the moderation of the economy, this should be in similar range. It is difficult to again say predict a 1 or 2 cent move this side, that side, but probably it is safer to assume that if we are talking about next 12 months, this is where it should be. But again, it's a pretty dynamic market. We have seen polysilicon plant burning in China leads the prices much higher. So I think we need to be very vigilant about how things move and plan it in a manner where you have your base returns protected when you make your assumptions for a particular project. I hope I answered the question.
Yeah, that's helpful. Just to reconfirm, you mentioned change in 1 cent brings about 1 or 2% of a variation in the IRR.
1 to 1.2%.
1 to 1.2 for 1 cent.
Depends on the tariff at which we are putting up the project.
Fair enough, sir. Secondly, sir, you do mention that current year we are targeting to execute 2 to 3 gigawatt of capacity. We have around 10 plus gigawatt which are in the construction phase. Can you just give a broad timeline, you know, when exactly we plan to execute all these? I'm coming this question, you know, just in order to understand or get a sense of when, you know, on which phase, you know, probably Adani Green would come back to market aggressively so as to scale up their capacity or to meet the target 45 gigawatt capacity by itself.
Yeah, I think maybe I'll let Raj talk about when we will do the 20 and then I'll maybe comment on the question you asked also.
Yeah, sure. So I think that's to be, again, talking about the numbers, we are 8.3 odd today. We're adding close to 2.8 this year. We'll be around 11 by end of this year. We are geared up right now, working on that. Pretty confident that we'll be doing 5+ gigawatt year on year going forward. And once we achieve that 5, I'm sure there will be KRAs for us to increase that further from 5 to higher. And that's what the DNA is. So coming back, yes, probably after the end of this year, not more than 2 years for the balance capacity until 20. But internally, we do not necessarily focus on 20 as a number. We are very much clear that our targets are 45 gigawatt by 2030 in a manner where we are enhancing our returns beyond the current profile, and we will ensure that the portfolio mix is such. So I'll just invite Amit to comment on the second part.
Yeah. So thank you, Raj. I think it is very important for us to recognize that, you know, we have to get our capacity to execute these projects fast so that we protect ourselves from execution risks, cost variations, and at the same time, we need to maximize our margins and pricing as well. And a lot of better pricings are available when you have a solution-based approach. And as you heard us talk about, projects like pump storage, projects like CNI projects, projects where we have merchant risk, and we have a portfolio and the size of portfolio where we can do that, always bring us better returns. So our approach is in the short term is to make sure that we take advantage of that and we grow the portfolio in that direction. So you will hear us in the next, I would say, 6 months announce a few projects where we are stepping up and going after that projects. We don't believe that signing vanilla PPAs will bring us the best returns. So we will be carefully monitoring the market. And we'll participate where, you know, we essentially make sure that we high grade our portfolio and get the best returns for our shareholders.
Fine, so that's helpful, and that's it for my thanks.
Thank you. As there are no more further questions, I would like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. I believe we, you know, I had a great quarter, great H1. So thank you to the team and all the management team which has been part of delivering this. And before we close the call, let me reiterate that at AGL, we understand the importance of our role in mitigating climate change risks. We firmly believe that apart from delivering returns to our shareholders, it is a moral imperative for us to build a cleaner planet for our future generations. We'll do that by focusing on 5 key pillars, by delivering an affordable renewable energy along with storage solutions to our customers, capitalizing on project execution, experience we've built over the years, development of human capital and expanding local content and supply chain, accelerating digitalization while optimization of our financial costs as well. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. And we look forward to meeting you as and when we go. Thank you.
Thank you, Anuj, Investec team and Chorus team for organizing this call. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. On behalf of Investec Capital Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.